Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? Wonderful song. Fight on. Just keep on. Keeping on. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I don't know if everybody heard this or not. Had another young lady saved Wednesday night down in the youth group. Woo! Amen. That's eight. That's eight in about 3, 4, 5 weeks now. And I'm telling you, God's working, isn't he? God's in control, and it's just so exciting thing for me to step up and say, hey, we're seeing souls. God's still in the saving business. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Still in the saving business. Good song service this morning. I appreciate the effort put forth in it. And everybody doing good. I'm just full of news this morning. Amen. I'm just full of news this morning. Good news. I'm talking about good news. And we're going to go through a few things first, and then I'm going to get to the really good news. Amen. That's the word of God. Connor pitched a one-hitter Friday afternoon. And I tell you, if you'd have thrown him two in the dirt and then got him with that last fastball, you'd have got him. I don't believe he'd ever hit it, but three straight fastballs, and he finally got keyed in on one and got a little old single hit off of it. I was pulling for no hitter. And I mentioned that, and y'all may think that's odd, but I'm proud of our young people and their effort. I mean, we got to go over the ball game, watch him play, and he can hum the ball. I wouldn't want to try to hit it. And also, we've got Dade County Prom Queen right here in our midst. Amen. Miss Brittany, why don't you stand up? Amen. Now, I know I miss a few things, but I've got good news, right? I got Dade County Prom Queen and a baseball pitcher, and I'm not belittling all the youth that's here because they're all putting forth a good effort and a good work, and I see the things going on. They've sent us our questions for Wednesday night. I'm trying to prep the church that we're going to go down there and be prepared. Amen. So I think we've got the answer already. Now, let me run this one by you. Youth group. Two people in the Bible that God changed their names. Do y'all know them? Y'all think about that for a while. Two people in the Bible, God changed their name. And so y'all think about that for a while. Okay. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I've got some scriptures to share with you. I thought on my mind this morning, walked out, and we had such a rainy day yesterday, but I thought, that's the day God gave us. And went out this morning, kind of broke off, and I can even see, it looks like maybe sunshine. I hadn't saw it so many days, I'm not sure, but that may be the sun shining out there. And I thought about the joy that God gives us, and sometimes our joy is determined by circumstances around us. And I want to spend a little bit of time this morning preaching about joy, 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 and joy, and more joy, even in the face of adversity and even in troubled times, we still retain the joy of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think everything around you can be wrong, everything can be bad, and you can still have joy of the Lord because He's put a joy in us that the world can't take away. World didn't give it to him, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Joy of the Lord. Let's look at some scripture this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 27. We're going to talk about a shipwreck. Sometimes we go through life, and I look at some people, and it looks like, it's just a shipwreck, that everything around them has come apart, been tore up. And I get thinking about how God oftentimes allows these things and puts these things in our life, that we have faith and confidence in Him, and we retain the joy that He intends for us to have. Now, when we get into this, I want everybody here to understand that any time this storm that was taking place that was going to wreck this ship, God could have spoke it and it would have ceased. Amen. But God didn't choose to steal the storm. He chose to give them faith and confidence in Him to get through it. Now, there's times in life we have to weather the storm. Amen. The hard times that come, but God allows these things to happen in life that makes us better people and also gives us influence and leaves a testimony for other people around us. Acts chapter 27 and verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So we find here that God is allowing this. This is God's will for Paul to be delivered to this one Julius, and placed on a ship. Now, God knew what they were going to face, before he ever put Paul on the ship. God knew what they were going to have to withstand. He was in control of everybody, but he allowed Paul to be placed on this ship. I think how many times in this life, in this world, that God allows us to be placed in places that we really wouldn't choose of our own accord. Paul didn't choose where he was at. God allowed him to be put there, not his choice. Now keep this in mind. God puts us in positions and places sometimes that really I'd rather not be. But if it's for the cause of Jesus Christ and furthering the gospel, then so be it. If we might be a witness and give testimony to somebody how God controls and helps us through hard times, so be it. Down in verse 9, and when much time was spent and when Satan was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Now, they have been warned of God. Paul is speaking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's warning them. He said, it's going to be with much hurt and much damage to the ship. And so, hey, they have the warning of God. But in verse 11, this is something we have to deal with each and every day. It said, nevertheless, the centurion believed on the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Every time I read that, it just brings into mind what happened yesterday or the day before or 2 weeks ago, or it'll happen again probably even tomorrow, that people believe man more than they believe God. Now, that's where we're at in this world today. They believe man more than they believe God. They trust in the government more than they do God. Now, when Paul warned them, that was a warning from God. I'm gonna pray, everybody here, that if you get warned of God not to do something, don't do it. It's going to come hardship. It's going to cost you in the long run. There's so many times people want to believe people instead of believing God. That's the case and situation here. Every time that arises in Scripture, you're going to find when they turn away and don't follow the leadership of God, there's hurt, there's damage, there's captivity, there's wars. Down in verse 14, I'm going to go through this pretty briefly. We got some more things to do before we get done here today. Amen. I know some more news. I might just tell it now. No, wait a minute. If I tell it now, y'all all just get up and go home from it. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a temperous wind called Euroclin. And when the ship was caught up and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And so now we see the results of going contrary to the word of God. We see what happens and what takes place when we believe people more than we believe God. They're on this ship. Paul had no choice. The others had a choice. They could have chose to believe God and stayed in the port. But no, they went sailing. They put it out because they desired to get to what they wanted. But I'm not surprised when this storm comes up, this tempest arises, that God put a strong storm in her way. Now, if you're going against the will of God, there's going to be storms in your life. Now, I'm preaching the side of Paul. He's on the same ship that these people made a choice. He didn't have a choice. There's times we get caught up, and really not because of choice of ours, but God allows us to go through the storm and be in a shipwreck in this life that we give witness to other people about the power of God. So when I read down at the bottom, it said they could not bear up. They just let it drive into the wind. They lost all control. That's what happens so many times against God's will. Just lost all control. Can you think about how nervous and upset they were when they no longer were in control? Everybody likes to be in control, don't they? If you drive down the road, do you like to think you're in control of your car? Would you think about being in a vehicle and it's out of control, running off the side of the mountain? That's where they were in this ship. They lost all control. No longer in the power of man to control their destiny. It falls into the hands of God. Down in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now you talk about a sad place they've come to. They had no hope whatsoever that they would be saved. Now understand this. Now we're going to get into the situation where Paul is among them. Paul is present in this ship. When they'd all lost hope, Paul had hope because he was a man of God. Now you think about the testimony that we can give in a lot of situations that we've got hope beyond all hope because our hope is in God. and those people that don't have that hope in God, we can make a statement to the world, because even in hard situations, bad times, we've got hope and we can have joy. So it said the sun and stars of many days, they were in this period of darkness. And I get thinking about how so many people are in the dark about the light of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. This long absence, I've got an idea. He's down talking to God. Don't y'all figure that's what Paul was doing? You know, it don't say specifically, but in my mind, after a long absence, he appeared. I believe he'd been down communing and talking with God, praying, and God talking to him, God leading him, God directing him. And after a long absence, he said he stood up and told him, said, sir, you shouldn't have done this. But it's too late. They're in the midst of the sea. They're tossed by the waves. They've got the hardship. They're having to face the storm. They're in the midst of darkness and lost all hope. In verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, this is a thing that I want to point out that we need motivated, the same as Paul was. When he talked to God, he came out and said, I want you to be of good cheer. Now, he's talking to a group of men on a sailing vessel, on a ship that's in a storm. They've lost control. It's dark. They hadn't saw the sun. They hadn't saw the stars in many days. And he comes out and said, I want you to be of good cheer. Now you get thinking about, that's why I'm up here this morning saying, I want you to be full of good cheer. I want you to be filled with the joy of the Lord. I don't care what we have to face or what we have to go through today or tomorrow. God is still in control. Paul said, be of good cheer. He has the word of God. That's what brings cheer to our life in these hard times. It said, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Material things, God's going to take away. Life is going to be sustained. How God deals with the ones he loves. Now you think about the love God had for every man on this ship. Whether they were believers, unbelievers, God had a love for them and a compassion for them that he was going to deliver them, and there were going to be no souls, no life lost, but the material things going to be taken away. Now if you placed your hope on material things, God can take that away this quick. You know, we experienced that 2 years ago during the tornadoes. You know, people had this and that, and once one storm took it all away. It was all gone. In verse 23, it said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. So he starts giving a testimony on this ship that's going to sink. And he said, the angel stood by him, the angel of God. And say, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And he believes God and starts relating this story about the angel, about the power of God to deliver them. And I thought, how oftentimes we get put in a hard situation, not because of our problems or not because of us only, but also for those all around us, that we could be the influence and the light in a time of darkness for somebody else. That's why we visit. That's why we share our faith in God with other people. That they're in a situation of darkness, they're in a situation of fear, and God had placed Paul on this ship that they might all be delivered. Paul was placed on this ship by the power of God that he might give the testimony and tell them about God. If you find yourself in a hard spot, it might be for someone else and for their benefit, for their help, for their leadership, for their guidance. And if we have to go through the sea, if we have to go through the storm, if it could help that many other people, wouldn't it be worth something? I've thought a lot of times about this. Down in verse 39, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in a ship. Now they're out of control, and so they're hoping to thrust this ship into this little island, this little creek. And I think about so oftentimes that at any moment God could have said, wind be still, and the storm would have ceased. But God didn't choose to still the storm. God's chose to get them through it. The storms in your life, God don't always take them out. God don't always take away the hard places and the struggles that we have in life, but God gets us through them. Now, I'm preaching to you this morning that if you're in a hard situation in life, if there's a storm in your life, just rely and look to God, and He'll get you through it. In verse 40, and when they had taken up anchors, they commanded themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and the remainder unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with violence of the wave. So the ship comes apart. I'm talking about breaks apart. It comes all to pieces. Here they are. They're in the water. Now, what a fearful thing it is that you see your ship break up and you're in the water. But think about this. God's going to deliver them. He didn't steal the storm. He didn't take it away. He allowed them to go in the water, but He's going to deliver them. I'm preaching deliverance of God here for somebody who's in a storm in life this morning. I don't know who it is. I don't know what everybody faces, but God, I believe, motivated me and sent this message that the storm in your life is going to continue, but you're going to survive it. Somebody here knows, say, God's speaking to me this morning. God's talking to me this morning, letting me know just to continue. Just don't give up. You may go in the water. You may have to weather the storm. The ship may be broken. There may be material loss, but you're going to make it by the grace of God. You're going to make it. Down in verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Every one of them made it. Every one of them, no souls lost, just as God said. I got looking at this verse 44. It said, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. He took this material thing, broke it all to pieces, and used it for the deliverance of their lives. You think about that. The very material thing, the ship, he broke it all to pieces with the storm and then used the broken pieces to deliver their souls and lives alive and saved. Now that's a God that can use whatever. But He's going to deliver you. It may be broken pieces of material. You may not have what you wanted when you get out of it, but you're going to get out of it. Amen. I was talking about joy, and I want to say this very quickly about joy of the Lord. I thought about this shipwreck, and Paul comes out and said, be of good cheer. Not only once, he says it twice, be of good cheer. God's going to deliver us. And I thought about the cheerfulness and the joy that must have took place when they came out of the water and stepped on the shore. Now you think about a joyful bunch. I bet they are celebrating. I bet they are rejoicing. I bet they are praising God. I bet they are filled with that joy and that happiness and that peace that God had brought. You think about when they came out of the darkness and the light came and they got into the water and then stepped up on the shore. There was probably a lot of rejoicing and joy going on at that time. I want to say about joy. God says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I've been thinking about this a lot, about what's going on down our youth group, and I hope it just comes right on up the steps and comes into here, that we're filled with the joy of the Lord. I heard them the other day, they discussing, they were singing their Bible verses, doing their Bible verses to marching cadence. Y'all ever heard the like? Huh? And in my mind, I thought, Christian soldiers marching on, you know, doing it to a cadence. And I thought the joy and the happiness they're having going on down there, that's beneficial. Now, I want to say this about joy. In Psalm 51 in verse 1, Psalm 51 in verse 1, speaking of joy, in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And so joy is brought by repentance in this situation. When David started to repent, he had been in sin. When he repented, when he asked God to cleanse him, when he asked God to forgive him, and then the joy starts returning. So if you're robbed of the joy that God gives us, sometimes it takes repentance, it takes a cleansing of God that this joy be restored. I want to talk about the importance of joy just for a few minutes. In verse 10, Psalm 51, verse 10, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I'm telling you, keep the joy going, and you see what will happen. What did it say? The power of God will be demonstrated. Then will I teach transgressors our ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This hope of salvation that we have at New Salem Baptist Church, not only in our youth group, but also in this auditorium, we have a hope for salvation. And if we're going to see that delivered, we need to have that joy restored. We need to be uplifted. When David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, I saw the possibility of losing joy, didn't y'all? He had lost his because of sin, because of disobedience, because of the little deal with Bathsheba. Adultery. That's what robbed him of his joy. And so when he asked forgiveness, and he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you hadn't prayed today and asked God to restore your joy, I'm going to suggest you try that one time. Pray and say, God, I want you to restore my joy of thy salvation. And see where that leads you. See what that brings. We need to be an excited group here this morning. Got a lot of things coming up in the church. Here today, worshiping, praising Almighty God. We need to be an excited group in the house of God, filled with the joy of good cheer, regardless of the storms in life that we face. I reckon sometimes we get to the point we just take for granted that God saved this old soul from hell. Seems like we forget that, don't we? What he did for us as individuals. I'm telling you, it's a joyful thought when I think about God saw fit to save me one day. I talked to a young man this morning. He said he wasn't saved in church, but he's saved. I told him that wasn't strange to me. I saved in Miss White's potato field, right down in the dirt. And I guarantee you I'm as saved as anybody sitting here. I don't care where it came. Amen. Good to see everybody come this way. I want you to pray for the upcoming service Wednesday night. And I want to say this before going further in service. If you don't usually come on Wednesday night, try to make a special effort to come out here Wednesday night. Dinner starts at 6 o'clock. If you want dessert, bring it. You don't have to bring anything else. Try to be here at 6. We're going to have dinner, and at 7 o'clock, then we're going to have a service with the youth group. We've got questions that we have to answer. We're going to see how they've been conducting their service. Now, we might even do a little marching cadence. Huh? Sound off, 1, 2, sound off, 3, 4. Bring it on down, 1, 2, 3, 4. Sound off. Amen. We may even do a little marching cadence. You can't ever tell what go on down there. I don't see a thing wrong. I'd love to see God's soldiers marching, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Okay. So try to plan to come out Wednesday night. Like I said, we're going to have dinner. We're going to have a scripture, and we're going to play with fire. And we're ready for it. Okay. Y'all come to the piano. Instruments, please. We'll sing a verse for song. If God's shown you today that you need your joy restored, you can pray where you're at, or you can pray down here. But there's an altar call going out to restore joy at New Salem Baptist Church, that we be uplifted, we be strengthened, we be excited about the things and the movement that God's showing us each and every day. I'm excited that we've got 8 souls saved in 2 or 3 weeks, aren't y'all? Amen. That fires me up. You know what that means? That's 8 that won't ever face hell. And a lot of them, some of them are younger folks, so they not only saved their soul, it saved their life. And I'm excited about that. And so if you need to come and pray, you come and pray. If you're not saved by the grace of God, what a wonderful day it'd be to be saved by His grace. I'm going to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter, and by baptism. And I know one young man's already spoke to me. He wants to be baptized. And so, as we sing verse for song, y'all just come on down, whatever you need. Everybody stand to your feet. doubt, Hunter, he talked to me earlier. He said, without a doubt, he's saved by the grace of God. He said God Amen. Forgave him his sins and saved him. He's been saved some time. And it's always been the kind of thing, he kind of dreaded walking up before the church. They don't look so bad up here, do they? You know, they're not that quite that bad. He kind of dreaded walking up before the church. But he said, for the testimony and the influence and the witness that I walk. Amen. I walk. And I was proud of that, proud to hear that. Amen. He wants to be baptized tonight. So by his statement, he's talked to me. Do I hear a moving second to accept him? Moving second as a candidate for baptism. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Boy, that's most of them, wasn't it? So we're going to have a baptized tonight after service. Hunter's going to be baptized. Going to run the water. I told him it might be a little bit cool because it don't have time to heat a lot, but we'll be okay. And anybody else, if God moves you to join this church, this will be a good time. I'm not insisting. I'm not forcing. I look for the leadership of God in that. Okay, so we're proud of Hunter. Is Evan not here? Out at work. I hate he missed this. You just go home and tell him. Okay, well, the baptism still okay tonight? Is he going to get back? Okay. All right, so we're going to have a baptism tonight. I'm proud of him. He's a big boy now, ain't he? Amen. All right, okay. So any word or anything before we dismiss? Anyone? All right, y'all content to go? All right, everybody can come back and see a preview of the resurrection tonight. Death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. All right, that's all. Mark dismisses in prayer. See y'all back tonight.